All right. So tonight, you can see by the title page, we're going to talk about prayer. And sometimes that is a uncomfortable subject to talk about for some people. Because when you start to get more personal, you start to see relationship with God. Now, I'm one of those people. Because prayer life in my family growing up, we didn't have too much of a prayer life. We would say the rosary occasionally here and there, but the rosary was just a decade of the Hail Marys, the Our Father, and the Glory Be. I didn't know that there was a whole other set of prayers that you can say between the decades, and I didn't know about Hail Holy Queen and all that stuff. I meet Dawn and I find out all this other stuff about the rosary. But that was in my family. So my upbringing, we didn't say grace at the meals or anything like that, but we were very faithful people. We would go to church every Sunday. My parents tried to raise us as much as they could in the church. But prayer life to me was very uncomfortable. I met Dawn, and his prayer life was completely opposite of mine. He loves to read scripture. He loves to meditate on it. He will sit in a chair very quietly. He says grace at every meal. And at the beginning of our relationship and our marriage, it was very uncomfortable because he would say, "Well, you say grace now." Even will say that now, and I will go, "Well, no." So prayer is very, very uncomfortable for me. But the one thing that I have to say, if you're in the same boat as I am, just think of prayer as a relationship between you and God, and talk to God like you would a friend or a spouse. That's what prayer is. Remember, God made you. He knows exactly how you are with prayer. So however you get comfortable to talk to Him, just talk to Him. And don't feel embarrassed that you may not know all the formal prayers, or you don't go into your room and be quiet for half an hour. If you're just saying a prayer, saying thank you, God, when you're driving to work every day, that's a prayer. Okay? So remember, God has created you. So we're going to have a little table discussion here. So amongst your table, I want you guys to talk about if you do pray. And then how do you pray? And what obstacles do you find in your prayer life? And if you don't pray, talk about that too. Don't be embarrassed about it. That's why we're all together. We're going to help each other. We're going to raise each other up throughout this whole year. So go ahead and talk amongst yourselves.
I think it's good.
All right.
I try not to.
I hope you learn a little bit about what you're praying.
You will be damned in the fire if you do not come to church every day.
So I want to show you a little video clip now. And I think it's just right on with what we're talking about, prayer. This is from the movie Bruce Almighty. And if you haven't seen this movie, Jim Carrey plays a man who doesn't think God is doing his job, and God tells him, "Well, now you get to be God." And
I love that.
God wants to talk to him about prayer. So this kind of works. It kind of sums up a little bit about prayer a little bit.
Bruce, you have a divine spark. You have the gift for bringing joy and laughter to the world. I know, I created you. Quit praying. You see, that's what I'm talking about. That's the spark. Wait a minute. I want you to pray, son. Go ahead. Listen. Lord, feed the hungry. And bring peace to all of mankind. If you love me, that's America. What do you really care about? Grace. Grace. Do you want a bang? No.
That is the basic of a prayer. You're talking to God.
Now, it's going to be great if God turns out to be Morgan Freeman, I think. Hopefully, it won't be as scary. But that's how prayer should be. It should be coming from your heart. And you're just having a discussion with God. So what is prayer? Well, like we have said, what is prayer? It is a conversation. It's a conversation, a relationship with God. Where there is talking going on and listening. So obviously you're doing the talking. And we can talk in private to God. We can talk in public to God. We can have formal prayers with God. The Our Father, the Rosary, things like that is formal prayers. We can have vocal prayers where we say it out loud. You go to church on Sunday, we say a lot of prayers, and we say a lot of prayers out loud. And then we have silent prayers as well, that we keep in our heart. And we even have silent prayers at Mass after communion is a silent time to pray. So there's a lot of different ways to pray to talk to your Father. But if you are in a relationship with God, remember, it's talking and listening. And we've got to stop talking sometimes and listen to God, which to me is the hardest thing in the world to do because we have so much distractions, especially this nowadays in the age of technology that we have. It is so easy to be distracted. Okay? So later on, we're going to talk a little bit about what to do to help with those distractions that enter into your head when you're trying to listen to what God wants to tell you. So why do we pray? Well, we pray because God created us, and He wants to have a relationship with us. That's why we pray. God invites us into this relationship, and communication is the key. Prayer is necessary for our spiritual life as much as oxygen is necessary for our physical life. So think about that. We have to breathe if we're going to continue in our physical life. We need to pray if we're going to continue in our spiritual life. Prayer can make us better people. Because we're thinking about our relationship with our Father. And prayer is not to change God's mind, even though we like to think we can, but it's to understand God's mind. You know, you may be running late to get to school or get to work tomorrow, and you're hitting every single red light. Mm-hmm. And the next one you come up to you like, maybe you should kind of take a breath and go, what is God trying to tell me today? I need to slow down. I need to have more patience today. Remember, we're not changing His mind. We're trying to understand His mind, okay? So don't be cursing at those red lights on your head. Did Jesus pray? Yeah, He did. He prayed a lot. He was a Jew, so He prayed the formal Jewish prayers. He also prayed the Psalms that are also in the Bible. He prayed the prayers in the Psalms in private, and He also prayed them in the temple. He prayed, and He gave thanks to His Father. He actually showed us how to pray by keeping it short and simple. And He taught us the Our Father. So this is coming out of the Bible. I don't want you guys looking this up or anything. But there's actually two scriptures, both in the Gospels, one in Matthew and one in Luke, of Jesus teaching us how to pray. So this is the Matthew chapter 6. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they would be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. It's as simple as you can make it. Jesus comes right out and tells us, this is the way you should pray. And then this is the prayer that you should pray. Do we say that every Sunday, or every time we go to Mass?
Yeah, we do.
So how do we pray? We've talked a little bit. We've given some samples. Last year, the church went through a program called Following Christ. It was a series of video clips, and groups, small groups got together and shared. This year, I'm going to do what they call live. Same kind of similar thing. But this came from last year, and I thought it was a perfect way to talk about how to pray. So it's about an eight-minute video. His name is David. Yeah, Dave. So he's going to talk a little bit about that.
Thank you.
When should you have a daily personal prayer life? I know some of you have a daily personal prayer life, but I suspect many of us don't. When is a big question. When are you going to have a time for the Lord? First of all, I'd say, give the Lord the best time. Everything in our life is His. Where our treasure is, there our heart is. And if we really start to want to move toward loving God with our whole being, and when I was 20 years old, I was much closer to doing that than now when I'm up there. Way up there. But give Him the priority time, the time He deserves is gone. And the qualification for that is, for you, think about what is going to work best in your current schedule. So I've always wanted to start my day in the morning with the Lord. And part of it is because I get so busy with the rest of the day, I'm just too distracted in my thinking to be able to have this quality time that's devoted to being with the Father. So think about when it's going to work best for you, and you may be in a season where it's better to do it at noon, or you've got a break where you can do it, or in the evening. You think through what's the best time where you can honor the Lord and be alone with Him. So when, figure that out. Where and how long. Find a solitary place that's going to work for you where you're not going to be distracted. Now, some of us who are in the baby having season, that may be nowhere. I'll come back to that point in a moment. But I want to encourage you to think about where can I get alone and be with the Lord where I can just focus on Him and not be distracted. Just think that through. How long? I'd say start with 10 minutes to 30 minutes and try to establish what you want to do. You know, someone said, you know, creating a habit, you know, making a discipline in your life takes 21 minutes. I'd like to urge you, if you sign on and say, yeah, I can see that what Dave's saying is important for me to grow in the Holy Spirit, to grow in the Lord, that you say, I'm going to commit myself for the entire course to daily spending time with the Lord in prayer. Where, you know, how long, 10 to 30 minutes, something like that. And something that you can work on and do a faithful meeting with the Lord each day. What to bring? Show and tell. I'm going to show you what I bring. I bring my Bible, and we're going to talk about hearing God in Scripture. But this is my Bible, and I bring a day timer. And the day timer I bring, I actually do it on my phone. This is the calendar nowadays. But I bring either this, a pad, something where I can write down my distractions. When I think about something for the day or get a creative thought, rather than going off thinking about it and feeling like I've got to get the word done, I just write it down. Now I just type it out of my phone. Okay, so I have that. That's the deal with distractions. And then I use the Word Among Us, and we're going to give you all copies of this. And we'll be teaching more on this, as I said, on the talk about listening to God through Scripture. And this has got the readings of the church, the Mass readings, and a great meditation that's very Spirit-led kind of orientation to it that we think is very helpful for learning about this way of approaching God and listening to God in prayer. But what I do, and I'd like to encourage you to, is if you're not used to using a Bible, that you use it so that when you read the reading in here, in the Word Among Us, you find where it is in the Bible so you start becoming familiar with it. It's fine to go up in the front, table of contents, a lookup page, you know, whatever it is, that's perfectly fine. You find it and you write it down. The other reason I like to use this is because there are times when the Holy Spirit speaks to me frequently through Scripture, and I want to underline it. So I take a pencil, which is falling off the stage, it's no big deal, and I underline in pencil and I put the date of what it was. And that's important to me because I feel like there's certain things where I know the Lord is speaking to me, and it's very helpful to me to get hold of that. Okay? So listen, this is all about the grace of God. The relationship with God is something that's His initiative with us. I'm not trying to tell you, do this exactly the way I'm doing it. I'm trying to show you what I have done over the last 40 years that's been useful to me personally. And what I want to do is say, this is so awesome. You want to spend time every day with the Lord. Okay? So those are some practical kind of things. And then the other thing I have is I have a journal, a spiritual journal, and I keep this with me. And I write down things where the Lord has spoken to me. And I'll come back to it in the practical things in terms of the kind of things I write in here. There's a variety of things, but it's primarily where I have senses or I'm concerned about things and I'm praying things through. And I want to have that as a record because this brain, it not only suffers from Alzheimer's disease where I'm forgetting more and more things, but it's also just, we fall into unbelief. It's easy to go from a place of faith to a place of unbelief. And I've seen things where I've prayed for people and they've been healed of amazing things. When I prayed for them, it's like, oh my goodness! You know, and I write it down, and then a year later you come back and you say, that happened? So writing it down helps, and it's also a great way of doing things. And as I said, I'm going to share a little bit more about that in a moment. So a couple other things on this, establishing a daily personal prayer life that I wanted to mention to you. What about different seasons of life? Some of us may be in school, And that changes things. Having children, young children, multiple children, is a huge adjustment, especially for people who've had a prayer life already, and then all of a sudden the children start coming and you feel like, oh, I'm not holy, I'm such a slob and a sinner. You have to adjust because that's a vocation. Having the children is a godly, good thing, and it's a blessing in the Lord. And so we have to adjust with the seasons. And the Lord is completely aware, well, you're sick, you're super sick, and you just don't have the ability, the wherewithal. The Lord knows that. Especially if there's a prayer life already established, just being able to yield to the Lord is a grace that can be there. So there's different seasons of life. Sometimes our business, you know, may be very overwhelming, where we have to shift how we do things, so on. So be aware of the seasons of life where we need to adjust. Right now, I'd like to encourage you to work on establishing the discipline of daily personal prayer. Figure out what's going to work best for you, to be mindful of those kind of seasons where we have to adjust. The other thing I wanted to mention about prayer, the Holy Spirit wants to prompt us, lead us into times of prayer where you may wake up in the night and just know this sense of urging to pray. And he wants us not to roll over and say it's indigestion. There are times where he's going to prompt us to pray. Or in the daytime, you may be driving along in the car and also just have this pretty significant sense of urge. So be open to those extra kind of times of prayer. You know, the Lord may call some of us to sacrifice in terms of a unique kind of prayer where he's asking more time in prayer. Maybe at lunch, he's calling us to fast and go into a church that's close to where we work and, you know, to be before the Eucharist and to see him. Or maybe he's calling us sometimes to all-night prayer. See, he wants to make us his saints who are advancing the kingdom of God.
So I thought that was a pretty good video to kind of help jumpstart us with the, you know, how to pray. Definitely to make the time to pray. We always find it easy to make time to watch TV or to check our Facebook, text message people, you know, do whatever we like to do. We always find time for that. But when it comes down to our prayerful life, do we find time for that? And like you said, like Dave said, it's going to change with the seasons. It's going to change as you get older. It's going to change when your family changes. That's just natural. God knows that. So you're going to have to maybe change a little bit. And that's what tonight and next Tuesday night is going to be about. I'm going to introduce a whole different styles of prayer. And I want you guys to all experience it. And then you may land on one or two that you feel really good about. Yeah, I'm going to do that. And then maybe later on in life, 5 years, 10 years down the road, you're going to go, you know what? I'm going to start journaling now. And you know, all of a sudden you like journaling instead of whatever the meditations that you used to do, or the Alexio that you used to do. Things will change, and that's okay because we all change. But we're still working towards that same goal of our prayerful life. There are some days that it's going to be really easy. You're in that moment, like you said, you'll get this urging from the Spirit. And you'll be like, oh, this is so easy. I could sit here for an hour and pray if I wanted to. And then there's going to be days that it's going to be so hard. You're going to have a bad day, you had a restless night sleeping, you know, just things are just not working out. Those are the days that sometimes you just stop and go, here I am, Lord, and that's your prayer. And sit back and listen to the Lord. Let him do the talking today. Here I am. And then see what happens. That's all he wants, is just to start a conversation with you. Okay? So I want to do a nice little easy prayer. I love this little prayer because it incorporates both our spiritual and our physical life. So I want you guys to all get a little comfortable in your chair. You can close your eyes if you want, or you can leave them open. And what you're going to do is you're going to take a nice deep breath, and as you take the deep breath, you're going to say, Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to hold it for a second, and then you're going to exhale, and you're going to say, have mercy on me, a sinner. Okay. So everybody, I want you to be ready, take a nice deep breath, Lord Jesus Christ, and let it out, have mercy on me, a sinner. Let's do it again. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me, a sinner.
Have mercy on me, a sinner.
This is a prayer you can do in your heart. You don't have to say it out loud. You could do it in the car driving to work or to school. You can do it while you're sitting at a table with a whole bunch of people. Taking those nice deep breaths is so great for our lungs and for our body. And then just admitting, Lord Jesus Christ, I am a sinner. It's a wonderful, easy, easy prayer to do. But we are human, and we live in the distraction world. So we pray, and we try very, very hard to pray, but our mind starts to wander. Oh man, I forgot to go to the store and get milk. Oh, darn, I forgot to turn in that paper at school. I forgot to take out the trash. Now she's going to yell at me tonight. and our mind just starts to go. Okay? The Buddhists call it monkey mind. It's like your mind is going from tree to tree to tree, just like a monkey would. Okay? Don't feel guilty about it. It's a natural human instinct to do that. But instead, there's ways that you can deal with these distractions. You can just accept the distraction and go, okay, I forgot to go to the store to get milk. Let it go right through and let it pass. I remember a priest was telling us, you make it, put it in a cloud. Let that cloud go right over your head. Okay, I gotta go to the store. And then let the cloud continue to float right past you. And then you get back into prayer. So recognize the distractions. Accept it. And then you can move on with it. And like Dave was saying, you can have a piece of paper next to you and you can write it down. That's what I do because I need to have things written down. And then once I write it down, then I can let it go. It's much easier for me. So if I write things down, then I can move on. Right now, there is probably people in this room that have the monkey mind going. Right?
Yes.
I mean, not everybody's paying attention to every word I'm saying. Because that's fine. And we do that to our friends and family all the time. We could be talking to somebody back and forth and our mind starts to drift. So why would it not do it when we're talking to God as well? Okay? So just accept it. It's human nature. But try to get back to it. St. Teresa loved, she had a very spiritual prayer for life. And what she would do is take an hourglass, flip it over, and for 1 hour she would sit in prayer with God. But there is, and actually written in one of her books, she said that there were days that she just had a hard time to pray. So she'd flip that hourglass over, she would start her prayers, about a minute or two, and then she realized, okay, this is not working today. She flipped it back over, prayed another minute or two, and she was done. Hey, if it worked for St. Teresa, it can work for us. There are days that you're going to be able to sit for 30 minutes, an hour, and pray. And there are days that it's going to be 2 or 3 minutes. Okay? Also, if there is a distraction, and let's say it's something maybe serious, like you've got some a loved one that is sick, or you're worried about somebody, or you're worried about a dog or a cat, use that as part of your prayer. Pray for that person. Put it into your prayer. Make your distractions part of your prayer life. And of course, the best prayer of all is going to Mass and the Eucharist. We have, like I said at the beginning, we have a lot of prayers at Mass, and the Eucharist is the best and the most perfect prayer of all. So just remember that. Even if you've had a tough week, as long as you go to Mass for 1 hour on Sunday, you will be in a great place to pray. So let's talk about strategy. What can we do when our mind starts to, we start to have the monkey mind going on? Well, pray at quiet times. It's hard to pray when the radio's going on or the TV's going on. So if you're in your car and you decide, you know what, it takes me 15 minutes to get to work, I'm turning off that radio and I'm going to stay a decade on the rosary while I'm driving to work. Okay? Recall that you're in God's presence. If you think of God facing you face to face, just like Bruce and God were doing it in the video, then it's harder to get a little distracted because you feel like he's looking right at you. Pray before a crucifix or a candle or a picture. That will kind of help keep you focused. You can write a prayer. Maybe on Sunday night you decide I'm going to write a prayer, and then every night for the next 6 nights you read that prayer. When you're reading something, it's harder to be distracted because you're concentrating on the words. You can read a prayer. Like Dave was saying, you can read scripture. You can take the Missalette for Mass and read the readings for the next Sunday. You can do that as your prayer. Pray out loud. When you're talking out loud, it's hard to be distracted because your mind is working on talking, so it's harder to have that monkey brain going on. So pray out loud. If you're going to do it in the house when people are there, just let them know you're doing this so that they don't worry about you. And like I said, work a distraction into a prayer. If you have something that is distracting you, put that into your prayer. Let's say you decide you have a cushy chair in your house. Everybody's asleep. This is my time to pray. I'm going to pray for 10 minutes. I'm going to get into my chair. I'm going to be nice and comfortable, and I'm going to speak to God. And you fall asleep. Is that just the worst thing ever? Yeah, no. Don't worry about it. If you are a parent, you know what it's like when you have a child, and that child is driving you absolutely crazy all day long. And you put that child to bed, and you look at that child, and you go, oh, I love that child so much. That's exactly how God looks at you. If you happen to fall asleep when you're praying to God, he's happy because he sees his child at rest. So don't ever make yourself feel guilty if you ever fall asleep while you're praying to God. He is rejoicing. Maybe it was time you needed to rest. All right. Now we get into the hard part of prayer. Do we pray for our enemies?
Yes.
Yeah. This is a hard one because Some of those people we just don't like.
It's hard to pray. But I'm going to read another scripture. This is from the Gospel of Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, "To you who hear, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. To the person who strikes you on one cheek, offer the other one as well. And from the person who takes your cloak, do not withhold even your tunic. Give to everyone who asks of you, and from the one who takes what is yours, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. For if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do the same. If you lend money to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners and get back the same amount. But rather, love your enemies and do good to them, and lend expecting nothing back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High. For he himself is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as also your Father is merciful. Stop judging, and you will not be judged. Stop condemning, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and gifts will be given to you. A good measure, packed together, shaken down, and overflowing, will be poured into your lap. For the measure with which you measure will in return be measured out to you." So that is Jesus telling us exactly. We got to pray for these people who hate us, who don't like us. I don't know about you, but that is so hard. And just in my personal life, I'm going through really hard stuff with that. And that's God and I are working together on it, trying very hard to love people who don't love you. Pope Francis had a homily a couple years ago, and he talked about this exact same subject. And so this is part of his homily. So we're diving into him already speaking during a mass for his homily. But this is what he says. "Jesus tells us to love our enemies. That is not easy. It is not easy. We even think that Jesus is asking too much of us. We leave this to the clergy, to the nuns, to the monks. They are the ones that are holy. We leave this to the holy ones. This is not for us. But it must be. Jesus says, no, we must do this. Because otherwise, we will be like the tax collectors, like the pagans, not like Christians. Let me just ask this question and let each of us answer it in our own heart. Do I pray for my enemies? Do I pray for those who do not love me? If we say yes, I will say go and pray more. You are on the right path. If your answer is no, the Lord will say, poor thing, you too are an enemy of others. Pray that the Lord may change the hearts of those. We could say, but this person really wronged me, or they have done bad things and this hurts people, hurts humanity. And following this line of thought, we want to take revenge, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. With forgiveness, with love for our enemy, we become poor. Love helps us. Poverty is the seed of fertility and love for others. Just as the poverty of Jesus became the grace of salvation for all of us. Great will. Let us think of our enemies, those who do not wish us well, and it would be nice to offer that at this Mass." Of course, that was at his Mass. But I would say, if that is you, Sunday when you come to Mass, offer that up. Offer your enemies to God, and have God help you to pray for your enemies. One of the things that we do in our prayers, and we happen to did this tonight when I started the prayer, we did the sign of the cross. And most people know that that's the Catholic thing. They always are doing something around. I have a short little video I want to show you about the sign of the cross, and in itself is a prayer. Yeah. And then after this, we're going to take a little break. And then we're going to come back, and we're going to do a prayer experience. A big one.
Mass begins when the priest prays in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. As he says this, we all make the sign of the cross in something you've probably done instinctively for years. But it all means something. Even the way you hold your hand means something. Now, in the West, we hold our hands with an open hand like this, because the open hand is a sign. A blessing. It's a symbol of blessings that we, in a sense, bless ourselves. In the East, it's really interesting because what they'll do is they'll hold their hands with these three fingers together, the two fingers and the thumb together, as a sign of the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. These two fingers down as a sign of God's, Jesus's, full humanity and full divinity. And it all means something. When we make the sign of the cross itself, we remind ourselves of at least three things. The first thing, the most obvious thing, is that God is a Trinity. So we make the sign of the cross in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, reminding us of like this key core belief in our faith. But even more, when you trace the sign of the cross on yourself, what you're tracing on yourself is your worth. It's your price tag. If you ask the question, how much are you worth? With $1 million, with $1 billion. Well, the sign of the cross is your price tag. It's how much you are worth. You are worth, according to God, you are worth his very life and his very death. As often as you make the sign of the cross, you're claiming your price tag. The last thing is this. There's so many people kind of lose their story in life. They don't know why they're here in life. They don't know the meaning of life. But there's this old book back in the last century called the Baltimore Catechism. And in it, it asks a couple questions. And the first question is this. Who made you? Well, answer, God made me. But the second question goes to the heart. And the question is, why did God make you? The answer is God made me to know him, to love him, and to serve him in this life so as to live with him forever in the next. As often as you find yourself kind of not knowing the meaning of life or not knowing does your life have a purpose or do you have a story, you can make the sign of the cross and it reminds you that you're here for a reason. You're here to know God, to love him, to serve him in this life so as to live with him forever in the next. That's all wrapped up in that sign of the cross.
So making the sign of the cross really makes you a disciple of Jesus. In the name of Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, you become a disciple of Jesus. It's a mini creed. A creed is something that you believe in. Well, at Mass, we do the Nicene Creed or the Apostles' Creed at Mass. And it's a big, long prayer that we say. But the sign of the cross is a mini creed. I believe in the Father. I believe in the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. That is a creed. That's exactly what we say in the Apostles and the Nicene Creed. So we believe in God, we believe in Jesus, we believe in the Holy Spirit. So it becomes a mini creed for us. It also reminds us of our baptism. We were baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. When the water is poured over you when you were a baby or when you were an adult, the water is poured over you three times in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So that is that. Signing ourselves reminds us of our baptism. And my Father Mike says that we are God's. We are here to love God and to do what God wants us to do here on earth. Any questions about anything that we've talked about so far? Any questions about the sign of the cross? In the library tonight, I have a lot of prayer books. I do have a book that is about the sign of the cross, so if you really want to read more about it and into it, it's there in the library, so please help yourself to any of those books. We also have our snack list. If you want to bring some snacks for people, sign up for that. We have beautiful snacks back there tonight. And
thank you to Cynthia.
Yes, Cynthia brought the snacks today. And Ella brought the chocolate. Thanks, Ella.
We only have two other volunteers now coming up. We don't have any for next week, but Brianna and Phil are going to be the week after that. And Angela, James, and Luis, who I like to call the Trinity, they're the last one on the list here. So we got left to fill in. So think about, like I said, even teaming up.
Next week we don't have snacks because we have a prayer experience.
Oh, so the next time would be. Yeah.
All right, let's take a break.
Should we do that in minutes? Okay. All right. So let's do a quick reset and an opportunity just to see what has really landed on our heart. What's made an impact? Okay. So let's go back to the video, shall we? Back to the video. Slow one. I've watched you when you watch this clip, and this clip is all of 2 minutes long. And I watched how many of you connected to this. And part of it is, I heard somebody say, man, he's a really good actor. And you can say that about either one of them. Either one of them doesn't. But I dare say the reason why this has an impact isn't just the good acting. It's the truth and the message that's embedded within that. So you heard Diana share a lot of things about prayer. So raise your hand if there's at least two things that she's heard that you're familiar with. That she said, there's at least two. Okay. How about at least one? Okay. So for a lot of you, you heard a lot of things. And it's a lot in a short period of time. I mean, it was about 55 minutes. Okay. And let's shake it down and sift it out and see what's most important. Okay. So back to the video. This is the part after he prays the canned prayer, you know, like if you're going to stand up and lead, it sounds like you know what you're praying about. And what was God's response? That was good. If you're going for Mesmer. Yeah. And then he asks him a question, and he responds to the question. So I want to see if we can find at least three important elements that we talked about here that Dana helped you with in this video. You heard it once subconsciously and you liked it. Now that you've opened your mind and your heart to what Diana has offered, what are those three things? And you might find more. Okay.
What do you really care about? Grace. Do you want it back? No. I want her to be happy. You better know what that means. I'll let her find someone. I'll treat her with all the love she deserved from me. I'll let her meet someone. We'll see her always, as I do now. Through your eyes. Now that's a prayer. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a little over a minute. So much in that. What was the first question God asked? What do you really care about? And he had to think for a minute, right? He had to really go to the depth of his heart. And he knew the answer. And he said, a name. Now, the name actually happens to be Grace, right? Which is God's life, God's love, shared with us. Okay, but this happens to be a person. If you know the movie, it's his girlfriend. He's kind of self-centered guy. And so he sees Grace. And then God asks the second question. What was it?
Do
you want her back? And he hesitates for a moment and he says, no. Did you notice God was not surprised? Mm-hmm. Why is that?
Because he already knew the answer.
Right. Because God knows our hearts, right? Mm-hmm. So when we pray, we're not telling God anything God doesn't already know. But we're sharing our heart and our life with God. Mm-hmm. That choice in and of itself matters to God. Does God need our prayers?
No.
No. To be fulfilled? No. We need to pray to be fulfilled. Why? Because when we pray this way, we open our hearts to God's love and God's life. That's what fulfills. Now notice, did Bruce do all the talking?
No.
Okay, it involves communication. Good communication is a healthy balance of talking and listening, right? And all he had to listen to were two simple questions. But what would he call that when someone asks a question and there's a response? A question and a response. That's a what?
Conversation.
Or a dialogue, right? That's what prayer is. But it's a heart dialogue. Okay. At the base of this prayer, what's it all about? In one word.
Selfishness.
Selflessness. Love.
Self-sacrifice.
Which is true love. True love is always wanting what's best for the other. He finally turned the corner, right? It was always all about him. Okay, and he said it so beautifully when he said, I want her to be happy. I want her to have everything she deserves. I want her to be treated the way I should have, the way she deserves. I want someone who will always see her as I do now through your eyes. See, true prayer helps us to see as God sees and to act as God acts, which is always loving. Okay, see how beautiful that was? That was a great summary of everything Diana shared, wasn't it? Okay, so we're going to finish this evening, believe it or not, by praying together.
You said last part.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. You had one more thing. Right. Sorry. I forgot. There's one more slide.
Yes, he used everything you talked about. There was an object to concentrate on. There was staring God straight in the face. There was closing his eyes and concentrating. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah.
So everything that you...
Okay, so like I said, next Tuesday we're going to meet in a hall, which is just straight down right behind the church, and we're going to have 5 prayer stations. And in the Catholic religion, we have a lot of different ways and styles to pray. And like I said, we have some formal prayers and we have some other kind of prayers. So next week I'm going to introduce 5 different types of ways to pray. And like I said, I want you guys to just keep your heart open. You may sit at one of the stations and go, this is ridiculous. Or you may like it a lot and say, I'm going to incorporate this into my prayer life. So next week is going to be all about different styles of prayer, all right? But tonight I wanted to start off with another style that we have here in the Catholic faith. It's called the Liturgy of the Hours. And this is also called the Divine Office. And it's basically a constant prayer in the world every minute of the day. If you are a clergy, which means if you are a priest or if you are a deacon, you are required at your ordination that you will say this prayer at least twice a day. You'll say morning and an evening, okay? That means that somewhere in the world, every day, there is a clergy saying this prayer every single day in the world. And to me, that just blows my mind away, that this prayer could be in constant motion. It actually has seven parts to it. It has a morning prayer, which is when the sun rises. It has a mid-morning prayer. It has a midday prayer, which is around noon. A mid-afternoon prayer, an evening prayer, which is at the end of the workday, a night prayer before you go to bed. So it's seven different prayers. Doesn't that resemble another faith that is around in this world? They pray. I don't know how many times they pray, but they pray a lot. In the Jewish faith, in the Muslim world, they have sets of prayers that they take out part of their day to pray. Okay? So we all actually are all one body of God. We can all just get together. And not only do the clergy pray this, but there's a lot of brothers, a lot of nuns, monks. They all will pray it too. And it is open to us, us lay people, that we can be part of this. And this might be something that you might be interested in doing. When Don and I were going through ordination a number of years ago, the liturgy, phones were not as good as they are now. And so we had to do liturgy of the hours using books. They were consisting of four books. And you basically used like two of them. And you had ribbons in them. And they were just as thick as your Bibles are. And so you had to find one, and you had to start the prayer here, and then you had to go to the next ribbon and flop it over, and then you had to go back to the ribbon. And it was like back and forth. And I'm sitting here in this class with all these people, and I'm going, oh my gosh, I can't do this. This is completely crazy. It was just, it didn't make any sense to me. It should all be in order, and it didn't. Now, with technology, it's on our, there's an app, and it is so easy because you don't have to worry about flipping it around. So I know Deacon Phil's got it on his phone right now, but Don has put it up here, iBreviary. If you're somebody that's interested in this after we do this tonight, and you go, yeah, I can see myself doing this every day, get an app and put it on, and it's so easy because you just have to read right through it. Okay? Do you want to?
So, if you're interested in this, I'm going to say go download it now, but you can do it right after we're done. The icon for the app looks similar to this, and then when you bring it up on your phone, it looks like this. It kind of looks like it's an easy form. But it's not just the liturgies of the hour. By the way, breviary is another name for the book of liturgy of the hours, so that's why it's called iBreviary. You can pray the rhythm of the liturgy of the hours. And you go to pray, and it gives you options. Breviary, missal, readings, prayers, and rites. So the missal would be the mass, the prayers of the mass. Readings would be the readings of the day at mass that day. So if you think, man, I'd like to start reading, maybe, since I want to get more into scripture, let me start reading the passages at mass each day. How do I get to that? It's in this app, too. Then there are other prayers, and then other rites and rituals. There's all kinds of things in here. But if you tap on breviary, it comes up. Office of readings, early morning. Morning prayer, daytime prayer, evening prayer, night prayer, and comments. Okay, so if you were, if you decided that God was calling you to be a brother or a sister, you would be praying, if it was a strict monastery, all of those throughout the day. Okay. And as Dan said, other religions do this too, where they order their life to the rhythm of prayer. And it's not just for them. They're praying for all God's family. Dan said that if you are ordained a priest or if you're a religious brother or sister, you take a vow or make a promise to pray this. Now, for deacons and priests that are archdiocesan, that means morning prayer, evening prayer, and night prayer. You can pray the others if you want. And why do we do that? So that we're more holy than the rest of you. Why do we do that? Because there needs to be an army of people who pray constantly, particularly for those who have no one to pray for them. Okay? And the idea is that the Mass, as Dan says, the central prayer, the perfect prayer, we extend that each hour through the liturgical prayers, the liturgy of the hours. So Mass is the focal point of it, but we spread it out all day long by praying through Scripture and intercessory prayer, praying for others. Okay. So what we're going to do tonight is pray evening prayer. And it is what has been prayed, and depending on where you're on the world, will be prayed when evening comes up. So 24 hours a day, throughout all the time zones, you have Roman Catholics and you have Eastern and Orthodox Catholics praying this same prayer in union for all of God's family. Isn't that a wonderful thought? Okay, and anyone's invited to join. It's not like the privilege fear. It's that part of our vocation is to make sure there's constant prayer and to join that. But all of you are encouraged. So there are a bunch of different apps that you could download. iBreviary, in my opinion, is the easiest, and it's a translation that's used in the American church. There's another one that's out there. I forget what it's called.
Divine Office.
Yeah. That's the that's Great Britain.
Yeah.
So if you pull that up, it's the same prayers, but the translations are different. And some things are actually different. Okay. If you don't like apps on your phone, and you don't want to do it that way, but you want to do at least the readings of the day, just go to this website. It's the easiest one. It's www.uscb.org. I'm sorry, that's org.
.org. And USCCB stands for United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. And if you can't remember the website, just put U.S. Bishops website, and it'll come up. And just the front page, there's all kinds of good things on there, and explore it. But on the front page, depending on your computer screen, you might have to scroll down a little bit, or to the right, is a calendar. Click on the day you want, and all the readings for the masses come up for that day. Good? Mary?
Yeah. Before the 8 o'clock mass.
And the way that it's designed, it's really designed to be prayed in a community or with a group of people. That's what the Divine Office is designed for. But if you don't have a group of people you can pray with, then you pray it on your own. But it really does take on a different dimension when you pray it with others. So as Mary said, at our parish, 8 o'clock Mass on weekdays, it's said before the Mass.
Our parish app has the daily readings also.
Yeah. So if you... the parish app, all you got to do is pull a bulletin out. It's not as easy for me to put up there because you have to go through a little bit of a protocol to join. But we have a parish app, which will tell you about activities in the parish there. But as Terry said, it'll show you the daily readings right through the app. There's lots of ways to get to the area. Okay, Diana's passing out to you. Now, if you happen to have a briefing on your phone already, pull it up. Because we didn't make enough copies for everybody, but there's enough to have four on each table. So at most, you'd have to partner up with one other person. But again, if you have a briefing, if you pull it up, that's exactly what I printed out. Okay. All right. Now, there's just a structure to this and a rhythm. And if it's your first time, part of this is going to be instructional. I'm going to walk you through it. And so it's like anything. If you have a family and you have a family tradition or something that you do, there's a special way you do it. There's little rituals. So we'll kind of clue you in on that. Don't worry if you end up doing this on your own. It's like, I don't remember all the little nuances. It's okay. Just do it.
Believe me, it's okay. I didn't know what I was doing before.
All right. And for any of the liturgies of the hour, it basically begins with... And sign of the cross. And then three sets of psalms, or two psalms and a canticle, which is similar to a psalm pulled out of either the Old Testament or the New Testament. Canticle actually means a song, so it's kind of like song lyrics. Okay. Remember what Diana said about the psalms? That was what Jesus and the people of Jesus' time prayed over and over. Yes, they listened to scripture, but that was usually when they went to synagogue. Okay. Their daily prayer, when they would stop to pray, would be the psalms. And there's 100 psalms. 150, sorry. And they basically cover the range of human experience and emotions. So if you were a Jew at the time, and if you're a Jew in this day, if you experienced death and you were mourning, you knew which psalms spoke to your heart for that. They were lamentations. If you were overjoyed, you knew what that was. If you were angry at God, and you want to shake a fist at God, there's psalms for that too. Because God created us. He knows we're human. He knows all that makes us up, including our emotions, and he wants us to be honest with him. Okay. And so, if you were a Jew, you memorized them, because you didn't have books at home. So you were taught this by rote memory, and you would stop in the day, and everybody would be praying, whether praying together or different places, all praying at the same time, the same song. And so we've recaptured that. This is what the church is like. Okay?
And we're also going to do it as, one side's going to say one part, and one side's going to say the other part. So I'm going to be over on this side with you guys, and when we get to the Psalms, one group will say the first paragraph, and then the other group will say the other paragraph.
So we'll call this right. My left is right for the room, and left. So I'll have the right side, and then I'll have the left side. Now, why do you do that? Because prayer is a dialogue, right? And when this became entrenched in the church's life, at a certain point in history, it was the rhythm of monasteries and convents. And so they would literally, their place of prayer, they would have, if you go to our seminary chapel is designed this way, where you don't face the altar, the two sides of the room, it's almost like jury boxes, and they face each other. And you dialogue back and forth as you're dialoguing with God. Okay. So we'll do it that way. So if you notice on the first, it says A&T is antiphon for that first psalm. For those who put their trust in the Lord, that'll be the right side. So the right side will always begin the first stanza or the first paragraph, followed in conversation by the left side. Okay? Yeah. And at the antiphon, you'll notice it says leader at the beginning. And if you page down, we always end with glory be to the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that should be separated, by the way. So whichever side does glory be to the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, you stop at that, and then the other side finishes the glory be. You'll notice after that, we repeat the antiphon together, everyone together. So at the beginning, it's the leader, and at the end, we all read it together. It'll be followed by a scripture reading. Normally there's a time to just sit in silence. We'll probably do about 30 seconds. But what you're looking for is, what's the word that really seemed to be the arrow to my heart? Okay. And then there will be a responsory. Then there's always a canticle. Morning prayer is Zechariah. Evening prayer is a canticle. And Mary the Magnificat. Then it's intercessions. We pray for things and for people, for situations of people. And then we finish with the Our Father, a closing prayer, and a blessing. Okay.
And this will be our closing prayer for tonight. Okay.
So when we finish with this, we finish. And how many of you already identify with the ministry of the chairs and tables? It's the easiest ministry to be involved with in the church. Huh? Okay. Are we ready? And as we do this, remember what Diana and Father Mike said. One of the simplest prayers, but a complete prayer, is the sign of the cross. And that's why we always pray. We begin, whether in public or in private, by signing ourselves with that sign of love, the sign of the cross. So we do that together. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. God, come to my assistance. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. All right, now, normally there's a song to introduce. It kind of gets us warmed up. I'm just looking at time, and She just gave me the nod. We're gonna go right into the song.
I'm not a singer.
So, the Lord surrounds his people with peace. Those who put their trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion. They cannot be shaken. It stands forever.
Jerusalem, the mountains forever. So the Lord surrounds his people, both now and forever.
For the scepter of the wicked shall not rest over the land of the just, for fear that the hands of the just should turn to evil.
Do good to the Lord, to the young, but the crooked and those who do evil, drive them away. On Israel, peace. Glory to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Together. The Lord surrounds the people with peace. Now you notice the pause. That's a reason. We're not rushed in prayer. So when you complete one segment, one part, you kind of let it just soak in your heart. So the next time there's a pause for prayer, I won't speak, but that's what we're doing. What was it that, in that dialogue, touches me? Unless you acquire the heart of a child, you cannot enter the kingdom of God.
O Lord, my heart is not proud, nor haughty my eyes. I have not gone after things too great, nor marvels beyond me. Truly, I have set my soul in silence and peace. As a child has rest in its mother's arms, even so my soul.
O Israel, hope of the Lord, both now and forever.
Glory to God, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Unless you acquire the heart of a child, you cannot enter the kingdom of God.
Lord, you have made us a kingdom and priests for God our Father.
Lord our God, you are worthy to receive glory, honor, and power. For you have created all things by your will, believing to be and remain.
Worthy are you, Lord, to receive the scroll and break open its seals.
For you were slain with your blood and your precious blood, God. And every race and tongue of every people and nation.
You made a web of kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they shall reign on the earth.
Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches, wisdom and strength, honor and glory for grace.
Glory to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever and amen.
Lord, you have made us a kingdom and priests for God our Father.
So this is a reading from Romans. Your love must be sincere. Detest what is evil. Cling to what is good. Love one another with the affection of brothers. Anticipate each other in showing respect. Do not grow slack, but be fervent in spirit. He whom you serve is the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient under trial. Persevere in prayer. Through all eternity, our Lord, your promise stands unshaken.
Through all eternity, O Lord, your promise stands unshaken.
Your faithfulness will never fail.
Your promise stands unshaken.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
Through all eternity, O Lord, your promise stands unshaken. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. When you see the cross there, that means you bless yourself. So you know during, this is a from the gospel. So you know when you hear a gospel reading at Mass, you always do the three crosses, right? Well, since it's a gospel reading, we just do one sign of the cross. But we do it as we pray that first sentence. So we'll lead, but everybody sign yourself. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has looked with favor on his holy servant.
From this day, all generations will call me blessed. The Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name.
He has mercy on those who fear him in every generation.
He has shown the strength of his arm. He has scattered the proud in their conceit.
He has cast down the mighty from their thrones and has lifted up the lowly.
He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich
is awaiting him. He has come to the help of his servant Israel, for he has remembered his promise of mercy, the promise he made to our fathers, to Abraham and his children forever.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior.
Now we come to the intercessions. Whenever we gather together in prayer as God's family, we never just pray for our needs as an individual or as this group collected, but our family is the family of God throughout the whole world. So you'll notice in the design, we're going to be praying for local things and things generally in the world. And then there's a chance for anyone to offer their own intercession prayer. You can just speak it out loud. The first time you'll see leader, then you'll all respond, you are the hope of your people, Lord. If anyone adds an additional prayer that they'd like to offer, you let us know that you finish by saying, we pray to the Lord, and then we will say, you are the hope of your people, Lord. Okay. Remember, though, if you're praying for a particular person, pray for them by name, but expand it to everyone who's in that situation. Like, if someone's passed away, pray for the repose of the soul of this person and all who passed away this day or recently. So we expand it to the whole family of God. Okay. God establishes his people in hope. Let us cry out to him with joy.
Lord, you are the hope of your people, Lord.
Now, this is a dialogue, everybody together. When it says all, you can do the signs, okay? All right, we thank you, Lord.
Because in Christ you have given us all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge.
O God, in your hands are the hearts of the powerful. Bestow your wisdom upon government leaders.
May they draw from the fountain of your counsel and lead you with thought and deed.
The talents of artists reflect your splendor.
May their work be a world of hope and joy.
You do not allow us to be tested beyond our ability.
Strengthen the weak and raise up the fallen.
Through your Son, you promised to raise men and women up on the last day.
Do not forget those who died.
For what else should we pray this evening? Or who else should we pray?
Perhaps we should pray for those who have given much but haven't been heard.
We pray to the Lord.
You are the Lord. You are the Lord.
For my brother-in-law who has just been diagnosed with cancer and everybody fighting the disease, we pray to the Lord.
You are the hope of your people, Lord.
For the 34 people who died on the dive boat recently and all those who have died from boating accidents and other accidents, we pray to the Lord.
You are the hope of your people, Lord.
I pray for those who have been affected recently by the hatred and chaos spread by those who have abused the Lord's name in their quest to divide us and to...
We pray to the Lord.
Pray to the Lord to strengthen us.
You are the hope of your people, Lord.
We pray for all those who are walking on this journey of faith in RCIA. The Lord may open your hearts to hear the voice of God calling on you to grow in wisdom and understanding. We pray to the Lord.
You are the hope of your people, Lord.
We pray for the children who will be entering our religious education program next week, for next year.
You are the hope of your people, Lord.
For these prayers and all the prayers that are unspoken but are in our hearts, we pray.
You are the hope of your people, Lord.
And gathering all our prayers together, we pray in the words that Jesus taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Lord, may our evening prayer rise up to you, and your blessing come down upon us. May your help and salvation be ours now and through all eternity. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son,
who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen. Amen.
And the Lord be with you. Amen. And may Almighty God bless you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. And to Deacon Hunt, please, may the RCA continue for many years to come.